different ways and means to free the slaves. And one of them is what? When a person makes zihar to get out of this condition and your wife will be lawful for you back, that you free a slave. Also from this hadith we see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made means and ways for us that we can get our wives back if we made such statement like this. Also we see from this hadith how is Islam concerned about the poor and the needy people, and Allah made ways for them to be fed and to be taken care of them by different ways that happen to people in the community. Okay, so there is means to free the slave and there is a means also to feed the poor and the needy people. Somebody make a mistake, so to make up for these mistakes, to cover up these mistakes, is by feeding the poor and the needy people in the community. Now we go to a new chapter on page number 385, and this is chapter number 10. And this chapter 10 is concerning al-li'an. And al-li'an, like cursing. And in actuality, for somebody to be cursed, that means he is a distant, that he is a distant from Allah's mercy. Okay? Or he be kicked out of Allah's mercy. So, al-li'an is a person going to invoke the curse of Allah. That means the anger of Allah. He will invoke the anger of Allah to pray the to be him that him to be out of Allah's mercy if he's a liar. And this is a case that's going to be done between a husband and wife. If the husband accuses his wife with illegal intercourse. So illi'an is not to be done between any two parties except between a husband and a wife. Hadith number 936. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال سأل فلان فقال يا رسول الله أرأيت لو وجد أحدنا امرأته على فاحشة كيف يصنع؟ إن تكلم تكلم بأمر عظيم، وإن سكت على مثل ذلك فلم يجبه. فلما كان بعد ذلك أتاه فقال إن الذي سألتك عنه قد ابتليت به. فأنزل الله تبارك وتعالى الآيات في سورة النور فتلاهن عليه ووعظه وذكره وأخبره أن عذاب الدنيا أهون من عذاب الآخرة. قال لا، والذي بعثك بالحق ما كذبت عليها. ثم دعاها فوعظها كذلك، قالت لا والذي بعثك بالحق إنه لكاذب. فبدأ بالرجل فشهد أربع شهادات بالله، ثم ثنى بالمرأة ثم فرق بينهما. رواه مسلم. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim. Hadith reported by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. And there is a small story behind this hadith, that this person who came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, let's assume that one of us, he enter his house and he see a man with his wife committing intercourse. What he's going to do? If he speaks, if he say anything, he will be saying something serious. And if he try to be quiet, he could not take it, because it's not easy to live with something like this. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say anything about it, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam don't have the ruling concerning this. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like the question, okay? Because the way how he put it, like somebody asking a question, not that something happening. So later on, the man came and approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "O Prophet of Allah, what I had mentioned to you previously a few days ago, it took place." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation concerning your matar in Surah An-Nur, the light. Okay? And he recited the verses that which came in Surah An-Nur, and he said to him, and he admonished him, remind him about Allah, and how the punishment of the dunya is much, much easier than the punishment of the hereafter. He said, "O Messenger of Allah, I swear by the one who sent you the truth, I didn't lie against my wife." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called his wife and remind her and told her how serious is this matter, and that the punishment of this life is much easier than the punishment of the hereafter. If she did this, it's better for her to be stoned to death, because dying and be stoning, this is much easier than the punishment in the hereafter. She swear by Allah that she's not a liar and she didn't do this. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called the man to take a stand, to witness against his wife. And after this, he asked the wife to take a stand to be against her husband. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he separated between them, because after the man invoked the curse of Allah on him and the woman invoked the curse of Allah on her, this could not be living together anymore as a husband and wife. In this case, the man will invoke, will swear, okay, 4 times that I swear by Allah, okay, that I am truthful, okay, about what I said about my wife, that she had commit illegal intercourse. And the 5th time he will swear by Allah that if I'm a liar, let be the curse of Allah be upon me. Okay? And after this, the woman will come and she will do the same. Okay? She will say, "I swear by Allah," okay, "that he is liar." 4 times. And the 5th time she will swear and say, "And I swear by Allah and I invoke his curse on me if he is truthful." Okay? And after this, they will be separated. So in this case, between a husband and wife, if a husband accuses his wife, will be li'an. Okay? The cursing, the swearing. If a man accuse his wife and he did not do this, he will be lashed. If she didn't admit it, he will be lashed. 80 lashes. Okay? If she admit it, There is no need for lashing for him. There is no need for cursing or swearing. And she will be stoned to death. Okay? If a man and a woman accuse each other, they are not married, we could not ask them to swear or curse, invoke the curse of Allah on them, because they are not husband and wife. And the person who claims this, he will have to bring four witnesses that they actually saw the act, and not the act that a man over a woman, but the act itself. Okay? That means they have to witness and to say, we swear by Allah that we saw this man have intercourse, actual intercourse, and we saw his part in her part. Okay? Other than this, they will be lashed if they did not swear by this, or they don't come for witness, and the man will be witness, will be lashed also. Okay? Now, the li'an is only between a husband and wife, and only in case of a husband accusing the wife, not the wife accusing the husband. It's not for a man who guessing or suspecting his wife to go for something like this, because this matter is serious. Okay? Suspecting his wife, he sees a male man just running out of the back door. Okay, you could not, you understand, use this by say, yeah, he maybe even went inside the house. He maybe even kissed your wife. But you have to understand, for you accusing your wife is something so serious. And it takes more than seeing somebody was running out of the back door. So it's better for a person, if he is not sure, that he not to get into this and not to take it to the Islamic court. From this hadith also, that we see that the qadi or the judge or the Islamic court, they will start with the man first. And that li'an and cursing and swearing five times is only between a husband and wife. And by the man swearing four times, and the fifth one, that the curse of Allah be on him, if he's a liar, that will remove the punishment for him of being qadhf. Qadhf, that means like to stone or to throw something. So the qadhf for a man to throw this on his wife, to accuse her, we call it qadhf. That means he label her, throw this word on her, my wife did such and such. Okay? So if he swear, now this, because if he say my wife did, and did not come with four witnesses, neither he is ready to take a stand to swear, what is going to be done in Islamic law? He is going to be lashed. Okay? 80 lashes. And also in li'an, he have to say it exactly like the way how it came in Quran. Not to say any other words. And also the permissibility that to admonish the two people, fighting them, scaring them, remind them about Allah, about the hereafter, that they may be truthful. Okay? And this part of the judge work or the ruler work, to remind them about fearing Allah, that if he did this, you better admit it, or you better don't get into this cursing and this, because it's serious. Okay? He should remind them about Allah. And that we understand that the Muslim or the believer always be concerned about cleaning himself in this life before going to the hereafter, because the punishment in the hereafter more severe and more serious. That if there is Islamic government exist and they establish a capital punishment, but if somebody did something haram and there is no Islamic government and he didn't been seen, that he should leave this between him and Allah, and for him to be sorry for what he did, ask Allah's forgiveness, to repent and not to expose himself to anybody, or go to somebody in local community or imam or assistant imam, I did something, come and claim me. Like some people used to tell me this in New York when I came new, okay, and he shouldn't, okay, and I didn't understand these things, and this person 47 years understand and come telling me I did this and that and imam, and because I said I'm an imam of a masjid, I'm not the imam, the khalifa. This only for the khalifa to establish the Islamic capital punishment, okay, doesn't matter, because by doing this you can call in trouble in yourself and the community more than anything else. You can be persecuted, you can close your masjid, you can be in a big trouble, okay? So establishing the capital punishment only if there is Islamic judgment and Islamic khilafa established in the earth, and not for any individual to go and do it, but it is up to the ruler to carry out this obligation. Not that he has a choice, that means he's the one who is responsible of making sure that this is taking place. And the person that be punished for his crime in this life, if it's zina or stealing, cut in the hand or been lashed or been stoned, this will be expiation and forgiveness for their sin. They are not going to be punished again in the hereafter for what they did. They are not going to get two punishments, one in the dunya and one in the hereafter. And also from this hadith we understand that a person not accuse his wife as a result of suspicion, but it have to be something that for sure very certain. Next hadith, which hadith number 937, page number 386. وعنه رضي الله عنه, that means the same reporter, which Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال للمتلاعنين حسابكما على الله أحدكما كاذب لا سبيل لك عليها. قال يا رسول الله مالي؟ فقال إن كنت صدقت عليها فهو بما استحللت من فرجها, وإن كنت كذبت عليها فذاك أبعد لك منها. Okay. So رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to those people who curse each other, invoke the curse of Allah on each other, that means the husband and wife, he said, your reward, or your, what is the word that I should use, your reckoning with Allah. Let me, I'm a human being, I could not see the unseen. But one of you is a liar. Because could not be, you understand. The husband say, I swear by Allah, she is a liar, I swear by Allah, you understand. She's a liar, I swear. Okay, and after that, I invoke the curse of Allah, if you understand. And after this, she will say the opposite. Could not be both of them truthful, okay? Could not be both of them truthful. So Rasulullah sallam says, a reckoning with Allah, Allah will deal with you on the day of judgment. But to me, one of you is a liar. I don't know. Can be the husband, can be the wife. I don't know. I don't know. And after this, he said, O Prophet of Allah, my money, my dowry, what I give here, my mahar. I say, no. Because if you are truthful, you already slept with her. If you truthful about what he said, she commit illegal intercourse, you already been with her before, spend some time with her, so you already, you could not get your dowry. Okay? And if you are a liar, how you going to ask for some money and you are a liar? So under any case that you don't get your dowry back. Okay? You don't get your dowry back, and again, the tafriq and the separation automatically will take place between this man and woman. They could not remarry, not in idda or after idda or after she marry somebody else, not at any time, never they can be together. Next hadith, which hadith number 938, hadith number 938 in page number 387, وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أبصرها فإن جاءت به أبيض سبطا فهو لزوجها وإن جاءت به أكحل جعدا فهو للذي رماها به. متفق عليه. The hadith, all these things still related to the same incident. The same incident. The Prophet ﷺ said, this hadith which is authentic, observe her. And if she gave birth to the child which white with link hair, that means straight hair, her husband would be its father. But if she gives birth to the child with eyes looking as if they have kuhl in them and curly hair, the man whom her husband charged her with committing adultery is the father of this child. But this will be what? Will be later. Because the woman is pregnant and her husband say that I saw her, she did this. And the woman disclaim. So now the only thing the Prophet ﷺ can do what? To make them swear four times and invoke the curse of Allah. And after this will be what? Separation. But later on the woman going to give birth to the child. So now the child will have some resemblance of the father. So the Prophet ﷺ said what? Check it out later on. If the child with the straight hair, white, look like the, have these features of the father, now the father is her husband, and that the man was a liar. But if he come, you understand, with feature resembling the man that her husband accused her ways, that means she is committed adultery. Okay? But this will be too late, because month later, 2 months later, you could not do anything. You could not do anything because she already invoked the curse of Allah on her, that if he is truthful, that the curse of Allah be on him. And this will be sufficient. Okay? From this hadith, we understand that permissibility of invoking li'an, curse of Allah, even if the woman is what? Is pregnant. Also, that certain features of the child can make you related the child to which man that have the intercourse with the woman, and that we can take by these things sometimes, okay, but if a curse been taking place, you could not, okay, do both conditions. I don't know if I'm clearing it this or no. That mean if she had invoked the curse of Allah, you could not stone her after she having a child and the child resembling the man. Okay?
Okay.
Next hadith, which hadith number 939 عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر رجلا أن يضع يده عند الخامسة على فيه وقال إنها موجبة رواه أبو داود والنساء ورجال الثقات. The hadith is authentic, which is reported by Ibn Abbas that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered a man to put his hand on his mouth, okay, when he came to the first uttering, and said, if would be this deciding one, okay. That mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this again to help the person not to get into it, okay, because when somebody calling the curse of Allah on him, this is a serious matter, okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, he command a man to put his hand on the mouth of the man to prevent him, or he commands the man to put his own hand in his mouth to discourage him not to cause the curse of Allah. That means to slow him down, because until the fourth one, you still have a chance, choice, that you back up, although you're going to be lashed 80 lashes. But still getting 80 lashes much better than calling the curse of Allah in you. Okay? So in the beginning, the judge and the ruler should remind the person to give up this. But he said, no, I want to go with it. Let him go. Also, in the process of doing it, we should try to slow him down when he's about to swear for the fifth time. To remind him and say to him, listen, this is the one that will be the final. This is the one going to bring the curse of Allah in you if you are a liar. And this is the one that going to make your wife forbidden for you. You could not have her, you could not live with her. Never, ever anymore. Okay? So if he decides, no, I want to go ahead with it, he will go ahead with it. Okay? Hadith number 940 وعن سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عن في قصة المتلاعنين قال فلما فرغ من تلاعنهما قال كذبت عليها يا رسول الله إن أمسكتها فطلقها ثلاثا قبل أن يأمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The same story again, all this hadith going showing us portions of the same incident. That he said, when they finished invoking the curse of Allah on one another, I'll be lying against her, O Messenger of Allah, if I keep her. He pronounced her divorce three times before Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded him. Okay? The man, he was already finished with her, And after he invokes the curse, she invokes the curse, he said to her, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. Although without he divorced her or no, she's automatically, they could not be together. So the man said, oh messenger of Allah, no way. I'll be understand like fooling myself. How I'm going to understand live with her? I know what I'm saying. I could not be with her. I don't want to see her face anymore. She's divorced. Okay? So it seems that the man, he came with this divorce pronunciation out of anger, because there was no need even for him to divorce her. Because the two partners, husband and wife, who curse each other, not just saying words, bad words to each other, no, we're saying that invoke the curse of Allah when they accuse her, they could not be living with each other anymore after they invoke the curse. Next hadith number 941. عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رجلا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إن امرأتي لا ترد يد لامس قال غربها قال أخاف أن تتبعها نفسي قال فاستمتع بها رواه أبو داود. The hadith is authentic inshallah and reported by Ibn Abbas, which a man came complaining to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning his wife rejecting no hand of a man who wishes to touch her. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, get rid of her. Divorce her. Let her go. He said, O Prophet of Allah, be scared because I am in love with her. If I let her go, I maybe understand be running back again behind her. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so keep her. So, if you could not, you know, I could not help you, okay? So, this hadith, some people understood from this hadith that different ways from the word la tarud yad al-lamis, she doesn't stop a hand of any man. Some people understood it even to such a degree that anyone who have want to make intercourse with her, she let him. And this no way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to say to the man, keep your wife, and because this is the youth, okay? And no way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will allow a man, knowing his wife doing this, to keep her regardless, okay? But there is other explanation that a man can touch her, as example, you know, like some men, they shake hand with a woman or touching her, kissing her, okay? This is not the fahisha, it's haram, but still is considered sin, alright? Compared to adultery, is considered minor, okay? Or some scholars explain that mean anybody come asking for a charity, whatever she gave him, or anybody come and asking the belongings of the husband, she gave it. So that mean, so different explanation. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the man, okay, you are not satisfied with her, get rid of her, divorce her. But due to the weakness of the man, he's in love with this woman. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, I scare if I divorce her, I'll be going behind her after this. He says, so keep her. So we understand that a Muslim knowing certain things about his family, but not to be like doing crime and major sins, okay? That the permissibility of a man keeping his wife, although she cursing, although she do this and that certain things, but not to be major crime sins like adultery and fornication and things like this. Next hadith, which hadith 942, we leave the hadith alone because the hadith is weak. Hadith number 943. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: من اقر بولدي طرفة عين فليس له ان ينفيه. حديث is حسن ان شاء الله, and possibility the hadith is موقوف. Okay, that a man, this hadith reported by Umar رضي الله عنه, if anyone acknowledge that he is the father of his child just for an eye's twinkling, he has no right to disown him at any time. Okay? You have no right to disown him at any time. Hadith number 944, and this is the last hadith in our chapter and for our class today. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا قال: يا رسول الله, إن امرأتي ولدت غلاما أسود. قال: هل لك من إبل؟ قال: نعم. قال: فما ألوانها؟ قال: حمر. قال: هل فيها من أورق؟ قال: نعم. قال: فأنى ذلك؟ قال: لعله نزعه عرق. قال: فلعل ابنك هذا نزعه عرق. متفق عليه, and the hadith is authentic. Again, that we have to avoid suspicion, and for a person to hint towards something is different from making a clear-cut statement, because if this man made a statement by, oh, I didn't read the hadith, okay, that he can be lashed. This Abu Huraira reported that a man came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, my wife has given a birth to a black son. He said, have you have any camels? He replied, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, what is their color? He replied, they are red. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, is there a dusky one among these camels? He said, yes. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, how has that come about? The man replied, it is perhaps a strain to which it has reverted. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, it is perhaps a strain to which a son of yours has reverted. Okay? So the man, from the hadith, what I understand, that he's a white and his child came black. So he came like he have some kind of suspicion about it, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him this analysis. Okay, alright, similarity. Okay, so anyway, because we're about to finish, so let's agree about something, okay? Yes. You mean for this to determine if it is the son of the man or no? Okay, let me not answer this question now. First let me finish this. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the man, do you have camels? He said, yes. He said, what's the color? They say, they are reddish. Okay, he said, do you have any camels different? He said, yes, one like brownish or something like that. He says, so how this came about? he said that Naz'ahu Irq, that he came like, really, that I didn't see how this, did anybody understand this from the English?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you understand it?
Yeah.
Huh? Fadda.
The analogy.
The analogy.
Yeah, I said it.
All right. So, since everybody, alhamdulillah, understand, Ta'ala Ghassan, Abu al-Bara. So since you understand, I don't have...
It's genes bridge.
Yeah.
Genes bridge.
هل ممكن نحكم بها على ان الولد ابن الرجل ولا لا؟
نعم.
هل يحكم بها انها الام جعلت حرام ولا ما فعلت حرام؟
هذا ممكن احد اجداده اسود
فجأة. لا 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 لا. بيقول لك يعني احنا اليوم ممكن ناخد نطفة او ناخد الولد وبيعملوا تحليل. وبعدين لنفرض ان المحل اللاب قال لك لا. Yeah, ان شاء الله brother Ghassan Tuesday coming, which I'm going to be out of the town, he may can take care of the class and he can answer this question, ان شاء الله. Alright, because it's very technical. But basically we finish and it's time for adhan, and I'm sorry that we are not going to have time to answer the question. And there is also one question. We have three questions here for Brother Ghassan for next Tuesday coming. Let me remind all of you again that no class tomorrow for Brother Ghassan due to Majlis Ashura meeting, inshallah. Thank you for listening, and for those who are concerned about answering these questions, please come next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Brother Ghassan will give you more details, inshallah. Thank you for your patience. May Allah bless you all. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Brother Habib, please give this question for Brother Ghassan and put it in his mailbox.
Tafadhal.